Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a call-in show where we talk all about your life. We talk about your money. We talk about your relationships, all through the lens of the Bible. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Or you can email into the show at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. We are ready for your phone calls, and it looks like we got our first call lined up from Raleigh, North Carolina. This is William. William, how you doing?
Hey, I'm better than I deserve, Chris.
There you go. Awesome. I love it. How can I help?
Okay. So my wife and I are early in the process. Step one, taken care of, got $1,000 put away. But we are chipping away at our debt, and we'll call it step number two.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, we have always been faithful tithers, and 10% of our income right off the top always goes to the Lord, and that's just the way that we've always done it. Well, with this whole getting out of debt thing, I'm at odds as to whether God is more glorified with my 10% or more glorified with me getting out of debt and then giving to him out of the fullness. And, you know, that's why I'm calling. I mean, what is your take on that?
You've given me two options, and there's more than two options. It's not either or. It's not do I tithe, or if I don't do that, do I get out of debt? It's both. Let me do this. Let me read. Here's the deal, because you can get out of debt and also tithe at the same time.
And that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The plan is, until I called you, until I reached out to you, the plan was just keep tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've told my wife is, look, 10% comes off the top. It's his. We don't even worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we didn't tithe for a season,
mm-hmm.
we'd get out of debt in, like, you know, much less time.
Yeah, what you've done is you are relying on, you know, his ways are not our ways. You know that scripture. And
absolutely.
And what you're relying on is what you can see and not what you can't see. And you're using your finite mind. And let me just help you. Let's just go ahead and read Malachi 3, 6 through 12 together. After I get done reading it, let me know, you know, how that sits with you. Okay, here we go.
Sure.
It says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields, and will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And so I just feel like sometimes it's nice to have a refresher, because our finite minds get in the way. We try to use our own logic. But this right here talks about an eternal economy, that he will bless us if we continue to do this. So you're not robbing God yet, but you're thinking about potentially doing that. I'm just telling you, by doing it God's way, he will somehow prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop the fruit before it's ripe. He will make sure that you get out of debt as fast as possible using his way. And that is to do both. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is slave to the lender. Romans 13:8, to owe no man anything except for the debt to love one another. And this whole idea of tithing. So I would do both and try to cut 10% somewhere else in your budget. Okay?
That's a great word, and I appreciate you quoting scripture. I mean, you know, it's confidence and confirmation that we're doing it the right way.
That is a very, very normal wrestle. And I'm very thankful that you're vulnerable enough and open and honest enough to ask it, because I would think the majority of our listeners have battled with that from time to time. So thank you so much for your call.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion that Vanderblum and Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vanderblum at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. And the phone number is 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We got an email here from Donna. Says our 28-year-old son is living in our basement and has not kept employment for any length of time. He has filed bankruptcy, lost his car, and is basically starting over. He's doing well, staying drug-free. He is employed and is saving for a car. Although he has a couple years of college, he has not completed his degree. He's working, but not making a living wage. How do we as parents help direct him on a career path? How can he find employment that can open doors for him to live independently? He hopes to have enough saved to buy a beater vehicle within the next week or two. He does have student loans that will be coming out of deferment in a couple months. How do we help without enabling? I know it's very difficult for many of us listening in to hear this, this email that was written in, and not just, you know, kind of want to shake him. And I think we need to refrain from that, because we don't know what's going on in the situation. We don't know what's going on in his head. You know, we need to be, you know, sensitive to this. Donna, I think developing a plan together is crucial. You don't develop a plan for him. You guys develop a plan together because you want to make sure he has buy-in with this plan, and he agreed to it. And it's something that he said he was going to do, not something you said. You don't want him to resent you because of this thing, this plan. You want him to be inspired by it because he was in on it, and it was his decision. I would actually have him sign it. This plan. And I don't know if it's got to be something reasonable, not something, it's got to be reasonable from the standpoint of what you've already been doing, whether it's enabling or not. This plan to get him out of the basement needs to be reasonable. So if he's been in there forever and you've allowed him to do whatever he wants and you've super enabled him, you can't just shift it and throw him off the cliff. You've got to make sure that it's reasonable shift time. So maybe it's a 3-month window, maybe it's 6 months, you can decide that, but make sure it's reasonable and just reteach him how important all this is, that he gets, independent, that he gets independent. So you want to introduce him to the right people. You know, it's not necessarily about giving him money, but introduce him to the right people that can maybe give him some opportunities and again, reteach him how important it is to leverage those opportunities and not make you sorry that you did the introduction. You know, you can lead people to water. You've heard this before, but you can't get them to drink. And it reminds me of a passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 47. It says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." I don't know if you guys remember this in Acts, where many were baptized and many were saved. It says, "Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them. And he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Okay, now check it out. This next phrase, They devoted themselves. Then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Here's the deal. Here's why I read that to you. Because there was many people there that day. Some chose, some didn't. They devoted themselves. You can lead them to water, but you can't get them to drink. At the end of the day, Donna, your son is going to have to devote himself. He's going to have to devote himself to being independent. You can't do it for him. So give him a reasonable plan and then work the plan. Make sure he signed it and make sure that when he chooses not to follow the plan, that he knows that it was his choice, not yours, that you've got closure on it, that you don't have to feel guilty about it. It was a plan that he put together that he didn't devote himself to. Next up from Grass Valley, California, this is Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
I'm an automobile mechanic, and I get a pension from the Machinist Union, Automobile Machinist Union here in California. I've been getting it since I was 55. It seems that they're going to reduce the pension that I get, and it has to actually be voted on by the Department of Treasury and also by the rank and file. One, I wonder if there's any recourse that I can pursue to keep my pension. And the other part is, when I understand, there may be a subsidy from the federal government due. I don't know if you know of any of that. But.
Well, so here's the deal. Let me kind of level the playing field for all of our listeners and try to take out some of those variables. So, anybody listening in, if they have a pension and the pension may be reduced or restructured or even eliminated in the future, what are your options? Is that kind of what's going on?
Exactly. And the options that I got from this letter that I received from the pension department was that if I was over 80, it would not be affected. And if I was disabled, it would not be affected. Mm-hmm. Those were the only other options that I got in that letter.
Okay. And what are they giving you as far as options right now? Can you pull it with no penalty or keep it in there and just be at risk? What are the things they're telling you?
Well, what they're telling me is it stays in. I don't believe I can pull it because I've already been receiving it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. As far as, and I work for the Postal Service. I got another pension that's going to be due here in another year and a half. So I'm trying to get a second one in order. But what I understand with in that TSP, I can pull that out all at one lump sum and roll it into an IRA.
Yeah, which I would recommend.
Okay.
I'd recommend it from several standpoints. One is control. Everything you just told me on this phone call so far is that you have no control. You got all this junk going around, and you got no control. That's why I like you getting out of these as soon as you can without any penalty, the second that you can. The second point of view, second reason is because of Ecclesiastes 11:2. It says, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. All that means is I want you to spread your investment out. The Bible wants us to spread it out, not to just have it in one company. And so that's why I love the second you can pull it out, throw in an IRA or an IRA. I would just love that for you. So,
okay.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation, is to find out what your options are the quickest you can get out. And if you can't, then you have no control. You're in there, and just make sure you're investing outside of the pension so you're not relying on it, because it doesn't sound like this is a very reliable thing, and it's getting less and less reliable as we go on.
Exactly.
But yeah, just make sure you're investing at least 15% of your household income in addition to all the pension stuff. And then if the pension works out great, it's just gravy on top of your portfolio.
Yeah, I'm maxing my TSP.
Good.
As much as I can throw in it. So.
All right. Well, very cool stuff. Well, I hate to hear all that that junk going on, and I hope it all kind of works out.
Well, if it doesn't, we sell the house and we buy something, pay cash, and I got no debt.
There you have it. I love that attitude. Love it. Very good.
All right.
All right. Appreciate the call.
You have a good day.
You too. Well, folks, you know, we're talking about all sorts of financial situations in our lives. There's, you know, wealth building. There's saving. There is just getting out of debt. They're saving up for college. All sorts of aspects when it comes to the financial side of our stewardship. But of course, it covers all different areas of our life. And this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. And when we get how important that is spiritually, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. I know we all have great intentions on how we save and spend and give money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. But here's the good news. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been telling you about some incredible deals that we were offering at stewardship.com to help you get your finances on track and on a plan. Well, guess what? All of those daily deals are back, but only for a limited time. So if you want to get on the best plan for your money and learn about budgeting, paying cash, dumping debt, investing, giving, head over to stewardship.com, click on store to find great deals on our best resources.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
We were reading some emails a minute ago. Got another email here from Tim. He says, Chris, my wife and I are debt-free after paying off my student loans earlier this year. Way to go, Tim. We have a fully funded emergency fund and are starting to set aside 15% for retirement. We don't currently have any children, but plan to in the next 2 to 5 years. At this point, we really like the idea of paying cash for a house. Way to go. It seems like something that will take forever, but we're very much opposed to going back into debt for any reason, even for buying a house. What are some tips? What are some words of encouragement you could offer us as we continue our debt-free journey and look at saving up for a home? Well, you know, I got quite a bit of, advice for this. Number one would be, I would make sure that you keep this on your prayer list for you guys to pray about together. It keeps the why fresh. The why are you doing this? Because it's a major sacrifice. It's a major accomplishment. And major accomplishments come with major sacrifice. What you're doing is you're proactively doing some self-leadership. So before you can get discouraged, you've got the why in front of you, and it's an act of worship. I would say also this is the right season for you, you know, with no kids. It's a great time for you to double your income. Focus on twice the income rather than twice the sacrifice. If you can double your income, then you don't have to do twice the sacrifice, and it allows you to manage your psyche, to manage your emotions, because twice the sacrifice is really hard. So if you can double your income and then just do a 75% sacrifice, then you can still actually increase your lifestyle while saving a ton of money. I would also break it down into incremental goals, kind of like a saving snowball on the opposite side. It's very daunting to think through hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings. So break it down. You want to save $3,000 a month, or is it $6,000 a month, or $1,000 a month, whatever it is for you, but break it into incremental goals. I would say another one would be, you know, strategically sacrifice rather than haphazardly sacrifice. And what I mean by that is you're going to go on a beans and rice diet. Don't just go on beans and rice. There's a lot of creative things you can do with those with a cheap meal. So don't just, you know, say, oh, we don't have money for this, for recreation. We don't have money for this. No, find some really creative, fun things that don't cost a lot of money. So it's called strategic sacrifice. Again, keep it as an act of worship. You got this thing. This is not a math thing. This next call comes in. Looks like from Indiana. This is Jesse. Jesse, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So I have a question. I work in the fitness industry, and I make good money. I make long hours, but very stressful job. I'm currently trying to get out of debt, and I'm wondering if I should take a job for less money and less stress, or continue to work a high-stress job that pays well in order to get out of debt.
You know, I get phone calls like this a lot where it gives two options kind of in a vacuum. And I just want to kind of get you to pull up a little bit. And I don't know if it's that clean. I don't know if is one that's stressful and it's high paying versus one that's not stressful and low paying. I think there's other options out there for you, Jesse. I don't think those are the only options. And I don't think all work stress is bad. So let me dig a little bit into this. And what exactly does no stress mean to you? What is this other opportunity that's available? How much is it paying? And why does it at least be perceived as low stress?
The other job would probably pay around $30,000 a year,
okay.
$40,000 a year. My current position would probably pay about $70,000 to $90,000 a year. I work in sales, so it can fluctuate based on performance.
Okay.
No stress to me would be about 35, 40 hours, of work per week as opposed to 60.
Okay.
And I would say just, yeah, shorter days instead of, you know, 5 days a week instead of six.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there's never going to be no stress.
Yeah.
But to minimize it would be ideal.
Yeah, no, of course. And so is there anything that you'd like to do in this lifetime that if you did have to work 50 or 60 hours a week, that it'd be effortless for you? It'd be like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I get to do this.
Actually, yes. Like I said, I work in the fitness industry, but I work in personal training sales.
Mm-hmm.
So not personal training directly. And
right.
I think if I was training people, you know, 50 hours a week, yes, it would require a lot of energy, but I don't think I would be as stressed as I am now.
Yeah. So that's the deal. You're not wired for sales. That's a bigger question behind it. So which one gets you closer to where you want to go faster?
Definitely sales. As far as money is concerned.
Okay. Now, from the financial standpoint, but what about career-wise? If you went down to this other role, would you be doing something that you enjoy, and could you perfect that skill so that you can get to where you really want to be?
Actually, I do think so. With the right amount of dedication to the craft, I think I could make great money training people directly.
Uh-huh. And how are
probably in kind of an entrepreneurial setting.
Yeah, and how are you doing financially right now? Are you digging out of debt currently or trying to save for an emergency fund?
Yes, digging out of debt currently, got an emergency fund in place. So now it's just kind of working the debt snowball until I'm back above water.
Mm-hmm. How long will that take?
Say that again.
How long will it take to get out of debt?
I should know the answer to that question. I would estimate, without looking at the numbers right in front of me, probably about 8 to 9 months, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh. Well, I would stick with the current job for 8 or 9 months until you're out of debt.
Okay.
And then I would put yourself in a position where you can convert over to the new one without you feeling it.
Okay, gotcha. So just get above water for now.
Yeah, because right now, in a sense, your job owns you because you need that money.
Right.
And what you want to do is put yourself in a position. You get that emergency fund rocking. And as soon as you get that emergency fund rocking and you got 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up, you're in a position where, like, you know what? I'm good. I think this is enough for me. I'm okay to take addition by subtraction, take a step back so that I can reevaluate my life and I have some margin to think. I think that's good. I think if you run those, try to get out of debt as fast as possible, like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, Proverbs 6:5 tells us, then all your working decisions after that, you want to run through Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily. It doesn't say stress-free. It doesn't say chilling, right? Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And so you're not asking to work less. You're just looking for something that's a little bit more in your gift mix. So if you do that, run it through those two filters and get out of debt, you'll be just fine. Well, folks, we had some great calls today. Thank you so much for your calls. Thank you for your emails. And don't forget, get on the best plan for your money. Learn how to teach your kids how to be wise stewards and put yourself on a successful career path with our best resources right now at stewardship.com. And don't forget, the incredible deals on these resources are available for a limited time. Just head to stewardship.com and click on store today. God, thank you for meeting with us right here today. Thank you for speaking to us in a powerful way. And thank you for using other people's situations to be able to speak to all of us. So God, we love you. We recognize that you're the Almighty God, but you also care about the hairs on our head. You care about our situations, and your scripture tells us to cast our cares upon you. God, we do that today. We ask that you give us the strength to manage your blessings your way for your glory. God bless y'all.